presumably to anoint Jesus' head with oil. And she is so overwhelmed in this presence that she weeps. She weeps and begins to bathe his feet with her tears and dry these holy feet with her hair. So let's sit for a moment and see if we can reconstruct, see this scene. Jesus has been invited to the Pharisees' home to share a meal. The Pharisees were a political party of sorts who, unlike the more elite Sadducees, claimed to have the support of the people, and they were keepers of the Mosaic or Jewish law. Now this Pharisee, Simon, has invited Jesus to his home. The motive is unclear. Is he checking out Jesus for good or for ill? We don't know. But what we do know is that as a Pharisee, Simon is a respected, law-abiding, law-enforcing member of the community, one who is accustomed to a certain respect and honor. So we are in his home, and we're reclining around the table. And Jesus would be on the floor or on a couch with his head at the table and his feet side. And in comes this woman carrying an alabaster jar of ointment. She dares to walk in, stand at his feet, and she begins to weep. Now, in order to bathe Jesus' feet with her tears, and in order to dry them with her hair, she must sink to the floor. Can you see her? This vulnerable woman makes herself even more vulnerable with her actions. Luke tells us, and Jesus confirms for us, that she's a sinner, one who has turned away from God. We don't know the nature of her sin. There's often been speculation that she's a prostitute, but there's no proof of that. We all know that women are capable of a multitude of sins that have nothing to do with sex. But when I read this passage and really sit with it for a while, I have a sense of her shame. She's like the hemorrhaging woman in her way. She's unclean, and she is shamed. There's a burden of shame that is so intense that I feel her leaning over, falling to the ground under the heavy burden of her shame. Now, these people live in a shaming culture. The origin of the shame can come from two sources: the sin. The sinner knows that they've done wrong, and they feel that sense of shame at their wrongdoing. And the culture is a source of shame. It's the shame of judgment. The shame is on the sinner and her family and all who are associated with her. Her mother, father, brothers and sisters, children. They all live in a cloud of shame. The irony is that in this world, they are so busy heaping the shame upon the other that they don't see the sin in themselves. Simon does this in his judgment of her and in his judgment of Jesus. He says to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what kind of woman is touching him. Sin, the state of sin in whatever form it takes, is what takes us away from God. It's a state of blindness of that kind, an inability to see the holy. But in this instant, we witness the miracle of Jesus. Standing behind Jesus, she sees who he is. She sees that he is the Son of God. She sees the light of our Lord, and she falls to the ground under the burden of her sin. The shame is too heavy to bear. She falls to the ground, overwhelmed. are tears of relief. There is joy and great gratitude. Her coming to Jesus, this intention to anoint our Lord, and her weeping expressions of unbounded love are each signs of her repentance, her turning to the Lord. And when she does this, she sees the true majesty of Jesus. And Jesus sees her. He acknowledges her sin, but Jesus sees right through this cloud of shame. He sees her. Jesus does not dignify the shaming. He asks, "Do you see this woman?" Like the poor widow giving all that she has when Jesus saw through the shame of her low station in life, and like the hemorrhaging woman when Jesus saw through the shame of her physical ailments, Jesus sees this woman in her brokenness, and he sees this woman in her abundant love. He sees her and acknowledges her. He values her. He forgives her because she matters. There is no shame in God. There is no shame in the Holy Spirit. And there is no shame in Jesus. And they do try to shame him. They try to humiliate him, trip him up, catch him doing something wrong. And they killed him in the most excruciating, humiliating manner, like a criminal. They nailed him to a tree. But this is our Lord incarnate. And our Lord will not be humiliated. Our Lord will not be shamed. Our Lord is risen, and our Lord dwells among us. Now, it's 2013, and yes, there are still shaming cultures, but they're far away in the Middle East and parts of Africa, right? After all, we're progressive American Episcopalians. We proudly cite our accomplishments in equality and equal rights. But I must admit that I struggle with this. Do I see the other people, or am I blinded by judgment, creating a more modern, acceptable form of shaming? In seeing the other as different because of their views or their lifestyle, are we able to see them, really see them, not just what they look like, but see them as Jesus sees them? Do you see this woman, Jesus asks? Do you see the people around you? We are called by God to see each other, really see each other, and see us as Jesus sees us, you and me. And in this sight is the miracle of the abundant love. Jesus sees us in our brokenness. Jesus sees us in our sin. Jesus forgives our sins. Jesus pushes away the shame. There is no shame in God. Shame has no place